Back to Shifas. Baruch Hashem, these daven lend themselves to move pretty nicely. We fit in a nice daf per week. Hopefully, if someone's doing the review, it's you see how easy it goes. Really, you can have a full command of these daven. I want to introduce you to a new idea today that you can maybe use to incorporate in your review and a different system. So there's something called spiral dynamics. Spiral dynamics is an interesting, what it is a psychological map of history. You know, different ways to map out history. You can map out history, just chronologically, take a look at time. You can map out history through archaeology, meaning through architecture, the way the buildings have developed. You could look and you could see a historical, you know, people have written a history of the world just based on the structures of the world. Have they gotten more sophisticated, Okay, you can make a whole history of the world of bridges. I saw a book on the history of the world of how bridges have evolved. But there's also a psychological history of the world called spiral dynamics. So spiral dynamics works in terms of layers of strata of the psychological, intellectual development of the world. And it works by color coding. Just, I don't know why the color, how the colors are associated with it, but I guess there's psychological ideas there as well, but I'm not interested in that as much as the ideas. So the first level is beige, is instinctive, primal. Instinctive, like you imagine, like just man thrown into nature from the very beginning of creation, right? That's beige. Next is purple. Purple is already, animalistic already. It's beyond primal, beyond animalistic. Then you move next, which is to red, which is red is impulsive, egoistic. Someone's got to conquer. You know, Nimrod, who Gibor Tidli Fnei Hashem. He was a hunter before God. Is sort of this person who was hunting the animals, so to speak, who was conquering the animals and subduing them. That's the next level of dynamic. Then you get to blue, where it's more, the next dynamic is authoritative, where there begins to get order. Someone gets command, someone gets order over here. I think of Aparo in Mitzrayim. This is the way we're going to do things here. And when you think and you look back at Aparo's story from your eyes now, you're like, that's a little bit old. We don't really live like that so much anymore. These types of, you know, despotic rulers who control everything. Like, it's much more fewer and fewer, but you have that idea. Then there's, after that is orange, right? Or orange is already achievement, materialistic. You have even in there, I would say, already in science and values and rationality. So the scientific revolution ushered in a new era of achievement and success and wealth and the building of railroads. Then you have green, which is postmodern, which is, you know, community. There's the idea of working together. It's not just what I think. We have to work as a community. It's the only thing we're going to get anything done. You have to put different people at a table with different ideas, and you have to try to find a way to blend them and work together and make them work. And then the next levels you get to where we are now is turquoise. This is where the psychological is with turquoise is where you're entering what's called post-truth. Post-truth is dangerous because there's no one truth. Meaning I can make the case of pro-life and then 20 minutes later I can make the case of pro-choice. And we could have a debate and you could think, wow, these arguments on both sides are compelling. And because some would say, because now there isn't one truth anymore. Everything is above. And so you say this is such a not a Jewish idea. This idea is such a... So this became very famous in a sector of the learning world by someone by the name of Rav Shagar. Rav Shagar, who sort of broke away from the Gush world, and he was a great Talmud Chacham in the Mizrahi world and passed away way too young, cancer, and died. But his writings now are exceptionally popular, and he's in this postmodern world also where it's not about one person was right, the Baal Shem Tov was wrong, and the other one was right, and the Vilna Gaon. No, we're living in a world where it's all coming together, it's beyond, it's not black and white anymore, it's seeing beyond all these literal and literal truths. Okay, so this is a very interesting dynamic. By the way, anytime now you read a book, you could think, where does it fall along this continuum? And it almost is pretty literal. You could really trace it.
Look at the Gemara. One rabbi says this, one rabbi says that. So how can you say one's right, one's wrong?
Excellent. Kedarbanos. We said in the Kedarbanos, the beautiful, an argument for spiral dynamics, turquoise, is that everything, you have to have a funnel to be able to see and access those all our truths as well. So it's an incredible idea that this type of development can be seen in the in the Gemara. Now, that's not my point of how to develop the ideas of the Gemara through psychological development. That's already academic study. That's not our goal. Our goal is to take a very clear way of looking at the Gemara and then find unique ways of assimilating the information. So I find, many people write on this, using spiral dynamics as a form of learning is also quite interesting as well. So what that would mean for somebody today, and we'll plug it into a Gemara, the Gemara we're going to do today, is you start just with very basic. What am I doing here today? What's our theme today? The idea today is a couple more people who would cry over certain psukim because of the irony of it in their lives. Basic, very foundational. That's the most basic element of it. You move up to the next layer, and the next layers are animalistic. And there where you have one opinion must be right over the other opinion. No, my pasuk is the one worth crying over. No, mine is the one that's worth crying over. And then you try to memorize the Gemara on a higher level, which is where it's not like that. It's not what the Gemara was really interested in doing. Most of these people were not having conversations with each other at the same point in time. But rather, why does the Gemara even present the opinions that are rejected? Because we're trying to get to a higher purpose. And that's when you climb higher up this as you read the Gemara. So now let's plug it into the Gemara and see if you can begin to see these layers. And it's a very interesting way because lots of our minds work like that. Our minds work, it's called scaffolding. If I teach you the most advanced mathematical concept, it's not going to go in as well unless if I would have taught you starting from the basic and working up. And that's scaffolding. Our brains work much better to assimilate content and information if you go in a natural order progression. And I'm suggesting you can use this psychological order as a way of moving forward. Okay, so now let's learn the Gemara. You can keep that type of learning in mind. Remember, as learning, we're using classic learning. It's only the chazara, the review, or how you memorize that we're adopting these different ways of processing information. Okay, Rav Yochanan ki mati lahai kra bachi. Rav Yochanan, when he got to that pasuk, he would cry. It's 8 lines down from the top of Hamad Aleph. It says vatsiseni volavalo chinam, and you excited me against him to destroy him for no reason. It's a controversial pasuk. It's from Iov. The pasuk is basically referring to the fact that Satan had tricked him, as it were, into afflicting Iov. God is saying, Satan, you tricked me. This is theologically for Jews. We have to work hard on reading this pasuk a little better because we don't see there being this eternal war between God and Satan like Christian theology does. We see that Satan is a shaliach of Hashem. So be as it may, that's not what Ryochanan's here to do. Eved Sharabo Masitan Lovenises, a slave whose master, when they incite him, is incited to work against the slave? It's a Kaneishlo. What hope do I have? If my own master of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be turned against me, I have no hope. So he cried when he got to that pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan kimati lahai kabrachi. Rabbi Yochanan, when he got to the following pasuk, he would cry. So two psukim are getting Rabbi Yochanan. Hein b'kadoshav lo yamin. He couldn't have faith even in his holy ones. So e b'kadoshav lo yamin, if in his holy ones he couldn't have faith, but man yamin, then in who could he have faith in? Who could he believe in if he couldn't have faith in anybody?
But you said Yochanan didn't have a lot of sources in his life, right?
Right, that's always the analysis where he came up with this. What he saw was what happened in his lifetime. So meaning if he can't have any faith in his holy ones, who's Hashem going to have faith in then? Yom echad. They want to now back up how true and powerful this pasuk is by showing you a story. Yom echad haveka azel ba'orcha. One day Rabbi Yochanan was going on a journey. And chazilahu gavr to have a manket te'ine. He saw a certain guy who was gathering figs. And shavuk hanach demata v'shakil hanach delamato. He would leave those that were ripe and take those that were not ripe. Amr le lav hani mailin tfei. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, are these ripe ones not better than that? Amr le hani la'orcha bina. No, I need the figs that are going to last me for my journey. So hani natrin v'hanach, the unripe figs will keep for the journey, while those that are ripe are not going to last. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, haynu dechtiv, heim b'chtoshav lo yamin. He can't have faith in his holy ones. Meaning, just as the figs, I'm reading using Rashi now, just as the figs which are ripe and ready to be eaten are not taken on a journey, because they could spoil. God does not trust the person who's been a tzaddik for 25 years. So too young people who are perfectly righteous and sometimes taken away before their time. Meaning Hashem Kedoshav Lo Yamin. He sometimes takes the tzaddikim young before they have a chance to be masriach. Listen, there's nothing more disruptive and devastating to a religious system than when you have someone who was a tremendous scholar, Talmud Chacham, and this, that, and then goes off the rails. You know, we've had this before. It comes up every once in a while. And therefore, this Gemara makes the case that why Hashem may take a tzaddik early. So let's review. We had Rabbi Yochanan two psukim he cries by. The second one, Hin Kedosha V'lo Yamin, had its own illustration with the ripe and unripe figs. So the Gemara says, Aini.
Would you say that a young Talmud Chacham may
happen? I would read it like this. This is how I usually read these Gemaras. We don't say this is the reason why young people leave the world who are holy. But it may be a common factor to explain why it does happen from time to time. Meaning, you are not allowed to assume if a tzaddik died young, oh, Hashem took him because he knew he was going to go off the derech in 5 years. You can't say that. We don't know that. Many reasons. However, it's a possibility that when a tzaddik is taken young, it's a possibility that it could be that such a thing would have been the case. So, who mevayit baravusa habe? So, wait a second. So the Gemara says, Aini, is that true? They want to go against that explanation. There was a certain student who was in the neighborhood of Rav Alexandri. And he passed away while he was still young. And Rav Alexandri said to him, had this rabbi wanted to follow a more righteous road, he would have lived. V'imisa. Now, if Rav Yochanan's interpretation is correct, Dilma heim b'kedoshav lo yamin have. He was taken dafka not because he could have lived a more righteous life. He was as righteous as possible. That's why he was taken. Meaning, Rav Alexandri's drasha implies the reason why a tzaddik is taken young was because he could have been better. He could have been better. But our interpretation was that a tzaddik is taken young because, no, he couldn't have been better. He can get worse, and that's what we're afraid of. So the Gemara says, no, this was a unique case, not a kashanas. Hahu mevayit beravusa have. That student was someone who would kick his teachers, meaning he would rebel against his teachers, and therefore Rabbi Alexandri knew this was not one of the what you would call the kedoshav. He wasn't one of the holy ones, so it's not a kasha on us at all. It's a side factor case. Now let's go to Rabbi Yochanan's next pasuk where he would cry. Rabbi Yochanan kimati lahai krabachi. When Rabbi Yochanan would come to the following pasuk, he would cry. V'karafti aleichem lemishpat v'yisi eid memayer b'machshafim manafim v'nishbarim l'sheker v'oshkei schar schachir. And I will draw near to you for judgment. I'll be fast against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who extort wages out of the worker. So evit sharaba makarvo ladonim memayer leido. A slave whose master brings him close to judgment and is quick to testify against him, to Kana Yeshlo. What in the world could he do? What options do you have? So Rabbi Yohan Zakai, Rabbi Yochanan said about this pasuk one other idea, so put this in parentheses. Oy lanu sheshakal eno kosov kalachmurs. Oh man, are we messed over. The pasuk equated the small stuff with the big stuff. The small stuff was sort of extorting the workers' wages, together with things that are considered like horrific, which like adulterers and sorcerers, the lowlives, the real dregs. The worker extorter is in the same line, showing you that God sees these things as equivalent. What in our eyes, one is worse and one is lighter, God sees them as almost on the same level, and that's not going to be good news for us. So Amar Reish Lakish, kol hamata dino shel ger. Anyone who perverts the judgment of a ger, ki'ilu mata dino shel mala. It's as though you perverted the judgment of Hashem above, as it says, umate ger, and those who pervert the judgment of a ger. Mate ksiv. It says, and it says also in another context, umate, one who like sort of corrupts or perverts Hashem kivyachol, meaning all the other iveris mentioned in the pasuk are written with a prefix of beis, b'machshafim, u'b'manafim. The word umati is written without a beis. That indicates the word could be learned as referring not only to one who perverts the judgment of a ger, but only also one who perverts the judgment of Hashem. That's the Marsha's interpretation of that drasha. It's a hard little side to get clear. Let's read the Gemara again from today, because we need to get it clear. So let's read this Gemara together, and here we go. So Rabbi Yochanan kimati lahai krabach. Rabbi Yochanan would come to the following pasuk. He would cry, "Vatziseni bolavelo chinam." You incited me against him to destroy him for no reason. Meaning, you, the Satan, incited me, Hashem, to go against Iov for no reason. Evet sharabo masit nelo venises. A slave whose master, when they incited him, incited and acts against him. Takana Yeshlo. Does he have a way to fix that? Rabbi Yochanan Kimati Lai Krabach. Rabbi Yochanan would come to the following pasuk, he would cry. Heim b'kedoshav lo yamin. Behold, he can't have faith even in his holy ones. E b'kedoshav lo yamin. If in his holy ones he can't have any faith, but my yamin, who could he have faith in? So yom echad avika azab orcha. One day, Rabbi Yochanan was going on a journey, and chazila hu gavra dav minaketein. He saw a certain man who was gathering figs. Shavat kani the ma'ushal lomati. He would leave the ones that were ripe and take the ones that were not ripe. Amrli lav kol lav hani milin tvei. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, are these ripe ones not better? Amrle hani la orcha binalig. I need these figs for provisions on the journey. Hani natravanishlan. These unripe ones are going to hold while those ones won't. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan then said, hainu dechti. It means heim b'kedoshav lo yamin. The ones who are ripe and are ready tzaddikim, God can't rely on those and take those into the journey of life. Those are not the ones that are going to go. You have this wonder child now, this Yanuka. I don't know if you heard of him. It's a young Sephardi gone. His name is the Yanuka, the young one. The man is brilliant beyond measure. He's making a lot of ways. Gedolim from all walks of life have been receiving him just to meet him. You should go online. You can look him up on YouTube. It's unbelievable. Very young, exceptionally young. I don't know the age at this point. It could be, you know, 31, 32, but he's in another league. So, Aini, is this true? This way to interpret the pasuk. Vahu Talmuda Dahave Shuvistro Alexandri. There was a student who was in the neighborhood of Alexandri, Vishachiv Adazutar, and he passed away while still in his youth. Vahamar Alexandri said to him, Ibai Haimur Abonon Havechai. Had this rabbinic student wanted to follow a more righteous path, he would have lived. Now, Imisa, if from Yochanan's way of understanding the pasuk of how a tzaddik is taken young is correct, maybe Ktoshav Lo Yamin Havi. Maybe he was taken because he was so holy and he might go off the derech. No, this guy was different. This was the opposite issue. Hahum avoid beruvusav have. He was kicking his teachers, rebelling against teachers. Rabbi Yochanan gave like Rabbi Yochanan got to the following pasuk. He would cry. The krafti lechem mishpah vayiti aid lomar. And I brought you close to justice, judgment, and vayiti aid. And I was a witness. Amar quick, but machshav against your sorcery. Menafim, you're adulterous. Vinishbarim lesheker and lying. Uba oshke sar schacher and extorting the wages of the worker. So evet sharabul gamar ledo. A slave whose master draw him near. This is from, by the way, Malachi. By the way, the pasuk. A slave whose master brings him near to judgment and is quick to testify against him, what hope do you have? Amar Yochanan ben Zakkai, Oilan is Shakas Kos. Whoa, our pasuk connected the stringent, the machmer, light ones with the machmer. By the way, the pasuk which it didn't mention, this one might have been confusing, what's not mentioned here in our context is the next words of the pasuk. You need the next words. The next words of the pasuk are, after Sachar Sachir, Almana v'yosum umate ger. Right? Those who extort the wage of the worker, the widow, the orphan, right? And against, right, umate ger, and against those who wrong the ger, lo yera'uni amar Hashem tzvakos, do not fear me, says Hashem. So you're missing the end of the pasuk. So you're wondering, where's Reish Lakish coming out of left field? So I'm Reish Lakish, kol hamata dino shel ger. Anyone who perverts the judgment of a ger, k'ilu mata dino shel mala. Because it says umate ger. By everyone on the list, it says be. Umate, and you perverted, umate ksiv, and one who is umate, meaning one who does any perversion. You pervert that of the ger, it's going to be perverting what you say about me and what you're doing to me. By the way, how would you know if you're learning Gemara that this was part of the pasuk? Okay? Number one rule is if someone starts darshaning something that you didn't see yet, you could guess it was in the pasuk. Number two, just start using Rashi. Rashi says, umate ger, bahai krok siv. It's written in the pasuk. So Rashi will often help you with that stuff. Another way is you get the nice fancy Gemaras, the Oz V'Hadr or whatever, and they cite you the entire Pasuk so you can see the whole Pasuk, and that also is helpful. We'll stop there for today.